Can anyone remember the Canva? You remember the steps?
Not all of them.
Okay.
First one is humble. The second one is different level. So human level, Bodhisattva level, Buddha level. Maybe that's part of it. Oh, okay.
That's the third one, I think.
That's the third one. Okay. Oh, the second one, define what it's not.
What's not? Yes.
Yes. So the second one, yeah, if you can't... So first we've got to be humble to accept that we maybe don't know what harmony is. And then we should think about, okay, what's not harmony?
Mm.
And then we think about what harmony means at different levels. And then we can use essence function goal to break down harmony. And then I'm not sure what comes next.
Whatever topic you take, you start to get more perspective on it. So, and then, you know, even dividing into those four levels, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know about harmony for a Buddha or Bodhisattva or a monk, but harmony for me, I can start there, you know?
And what is not harmony for me? Well, being sick's not.
Yeah. The guy that took my parking spot today, you know.
Not.
Yeah. He was on the wrong side of the road.
Guy's out of harmony.
It was well played. But,
it was well played, out of harmony. He probably feels very in harmony.
Yeah.
In his perfect parking spot.
Any more to remember?
Did we... I don't know which second is that there was different types of logic.
There was like
one-way logic.
Oh, yeah.
Two-way
logic.
And then...
Three-way
logic. Many ways. Yeah. And then there was unlimited. Or,
that sounds right. Many-way logic.
And what do we call that unlimited?
Journalism.
See if he once described, I was like, I thought it was a good question. I was like, what does unlimited mean? He's like, oh, you're really happy with your question. I'm like, I'm really happy with my question. He's like, it just means all the limited together. So you're aware all the limited, then you're aware unlimited.
Can you, like, that makes sense to me, but can you give me an example of a limited?
A limited?
Yeah, like, so... They're just one, and then give me another one so I can start seeing what many of them would...
I like this colour.
That's one limited.
Mm.
Okay.
I don't like this colour.
That's another limited.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't really know... I don't have any feeling towards this colour.
Take it or leave it.
What's your feeling towards this colour?
It's appropriate for Tatami.
It's appropriate for Tatami.
Yeah.
So if we add up everyone's point of view... on that tatami.
If you're aware of all of those limited views on it, then you've got unlimited understanding of the tatami.
Yeah.
Yes. Or just the colour of the tatami.
Just the feeling that tatami creates, unlimited views.
Yeah, so it's not perfect. Like, that doesn't have a perfect function. Just because I'm the universe's expert on tatami doesn't actually help me.
Well, people's feelings about the colour of this particular tatami.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that's like when Sean Pig was like, yeah, but this is statistically proven. Right? So hang on a second. They walked outside a university and said, and interviewed a whole bunch of people, and the majority of those people said yes. And Sean was like, what if none of those people have any idea about that subject? And Sean Pig's like, well, I mean, it's still a, like, majority. Like, so hang on, you just say that just because you've got a lot of people who know nothing about the subject who agree on it, that's fact now.
Many blind answers is still a blind answer.
Yeah. That's it. Many blind answers together are still blind answers. Just have more.
He didn't like that. He did not like that at all.
He's probably have to read about 100 pages of that stuff as well. So, cool. So where do we get to? So we've got logic. I feel like there was more...
Did everyone understand what the difference between a personal and non-personal emotion was?
Sort of.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. What are your questions still about the difference between personal and non-personal emotion?
I understand what a personal emotion is because I have them frequently. But the non-personal emotion, from what I can sort of gather, is it's like the tree instead of my personal emotion to it. It's looking at, observing the different angles of, so to the bird, it's good, to the man in the apartment, it's bad, to the, you know, whatever, whatever. So that's like the observing is a non-emotional, non-personal. But I just still don't see how observing is an emotion. That's where I get lost.
Observing is not an emotion.
It's not an emotion.
Okay.
Yeah. Emotion is the result of observing.
But it will always, even if you observe from unlimited angle, right, of this tree, and then the emotion that you get from that, that would be non-personal?
Well, you'd be aware of each other unlimited angle,
yeah,
and you'd feel all those emotions.
Yeah.
But if you can feel 50,000 million emotions going at once, are you going to jump in and pick one? You're going to see them all as equally illusion. You're not going to go, and happy with the tree is the one. Like,
yeah,
you're not going to, why would you,
yeah,
if you see unlimited different views, point of view,
yeah,
why would you then support one more than all of them?
Yeah.
And it's actually by being aware of all of them that you stay neutral observer.
So then you don't have an emotion.
You'd have a very special emotion that you've never, we've never experienced
Okay.
before.
I think that's what we came to last week, was that
spiritual emotion is
something
different.
Yeah, that on human level don't experience.
Is that not yeah, no, it's
can
that,
be, but
yeah, it's not like can't experience, it's more like my personal level. You know what I mean? You can only talk about your own level.
Mm.
Even that has to take the personal out of it.
Mm.
Actually, it's possible. I don't have the wisdom to do it currently.
Yeah.
Not like I can't do it, so no one can do it.
Yeah.
I've had a really cool idea, like example before. It was like, I don't know, if you look at a child, right, and you're a teacher and you're tired and you've got all your own personal stuff going on and that kid says something to you, you're listening on the back of all the other stuff you've got going on. But if you just walk in the room and you have no personal stress and you hear that same child say that same thing, your attention to detail and how you receive that information and what you feel about the situation is going to be very different, right? You're not going to like... Whereas if you've had a bad day and that kid goes, oh, I just wet myself, you're like, oh, you little bastard, I've got my own shit to do. Now I'm going to clean up your shit as well. Like, but if you just walked in and you've just had like... the best day ever and you're all happy and that kid said that to you, you'd be like, oh, did you, little fella, let's go clean that up, you know.
Yeah.
One is free of personal heaviness and one is out of it, so the one that cannot fall into any of it stays out of it.
Yeah.
But if every time something bad happens you walk into a room going, oh, I'm in this personal emotion, and then you don't pay attention to everyone else, then that's where people become inconsiderate because they're too caught up in their own self world. They're seeing through that and they walk in, and it might be something simple like you walk in and push someone out of the way because I've had a bad day and they should know that, so they should be okay with me sitting here. Does that make sense? Like,
a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I would say that if you've had a really good day, isn't that you're bringing your personal, even though it's a positive direction, it's still your personal.
You can bring your positive personal to me any day of the week.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not really talking about that.
So, but it's still,
you know what I mean?
It's still a personal.
This place is far too positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one ever.
Romney was in such a good mood. I just couldn't handle it.
But I was also in such a good mood, so it felt like her awesome mood took away from my...
stole your thunder.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're not talking about
that
tonight.
That's it.
So we start with, it's all illusion. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, it's illusion.
Mm-hmm.
But bad illusion is clearly not ideal. That's why we want to change it. Otherwise, we wouldn't look to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But positive emotion, we don't need to change that. If it's good, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. They're both illusion, why not the good one? It's not like you're like, whoa, 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 this is too good to be true. No, I will not enjoy that. No, I'm not enjoying that. Someone pinch me. That's better. Level that shit out. Yeah, so you enjoy the good one.
Because interesting what you said is like, oh, am I meant to have no emotion? But it's like, having no personal doesn't mean I don't have an emotion. I still have my own.
Mm.
But it's like, yeah, like Sean said, there's many possible emotions. So I'm not going to take mine the most serious. And I'm also not going to cut the rest of them out and be like, actually, mine's the only real one because I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's more, it brings more of a kind of balance to the up and down.
Yeah.
One way, like I remember Red Bull saying, one of his techniques he says is, I'm only two Chen Kuns away from a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he uses that a lot. Because I asked him, I say, how come you're so good at Chen Kun? And he's like, I realize I'm only two Chen Kuns away from a good mood.
So it shows how often he's in a bad mood.
Yes.
Or potentially about to be in a bad mood.
Yeah, but see, you observe one way to say, oh, that means he's in a real bad mood. But I also say, wow, for every bad mood, he transfers that into Chen Kun.
Mm.
So it's like, there are many ways to observe that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Who's right?
None of them. Right or wrong, it's just different, right?
No, I don't know. That's your point of view.
That's a good point of view. Mm-hmm. You got to have one.
Got to have one.
Got to be known for some.
Who's correct?
Is it not a matter of right or wrong, but blind or not blind?
It's a good answer.
They both are personal.
Well,
they're,
I guess, like two different angles to observe
the
situation.
Awesome. Yeah.
Should we role play it?
Yeah, what's this? How are we role playing it?
Do you want to be Red Bull or do you want me to be Red Bull?
You can be Red Bull.
Damn it.
What is the question?
The question is, so I asked Red Bull, I said, I can never practice Chen Kung for more than about 2 days in a row. You're meant to do it 7 times every day for 7 years. And I'm like, I can do it for like 2 or 3 or 4, I can just never get a roller. And he's like, oh, I realise that I'm only ever 2 Chen Kuns away from a good mood.
So if he's in a bad mood, he does Chen Kun and all of a sudden, I'm not in a bad mood anymore.
Yeah.
And I laughed. I was like, man, you are so good at Chen Kun. and Romany said, far out, he must have a lot of bad moods. I was like, no way, you use that technique to change your bad mood. So you just turn bad mood into cool martial arts. So who's right? Or maybe none of us are right, I don't know.
I don't think there is right or wrong.
Show your work.
Show your work, go on.
Different ways to observe the situation.
Nobody's right?
Yeah.
Must be someone who's right.
It's not that it's right or wrong, it's just an observation.
Cool. So I can't remember all 4 answers clearly. So there are 2 angles.
He must have a lot of bad moods.
He must have a lot of bad moods.
That was the example.
Oh yeah, that was the example. Okay. Oh, so you want to?
Mine was that neither are right. They're just different observations.
Okay.
Neither are wrong.
So similar to Belen. Mm. There's no. Oh, but she said there's no right or wrong.
Oh yeah, so neither right, neither wrong.
So you said there's none, neither. Mm.
I said it wasn't a matter of right or wrong, but a matter of blind and not blind.
Blind, not blind.
And I said the 2 different angles. Talk about it.
2 different angles. It's a good way to start to talk about logic.
Great way to talk about logic.
You're doing it.
Doing it, Peter.
Because everyone gets the... I know there's a great sentence in that philosophy. I can't clearly remember. Basically, every life has their own logic. What is true for them? Anytime, anywhere, any place, every life's got their own logic.
Mm-hmm.
But how can we all have our own logic? I mean, surely there's got to be one logic that is the right one.
Because sometimes I can see like someone else's logic and I can see my logic. Sometimes you don't know what to follow, either the logic that they gave you or your logic.
Yeah, it's. I have this all the time. Or Sean says something, I'm like, man, his answer's better. I like mine, his seems better. You know, if only there was, I said, a logic that was like true. Really often.
The universal truth.
Yeah, like all the time.
Just in each moment, hit the universal truth button. Actually, this is the correct response. That's annoying, but it clears it up. It's like right down the middle of everyone.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, because that's like one of the principles of trying to learn wisdom, right? So it's got something that we can use that will help us get to an answer. I mean, what does right mean? The right answer.
Right is subjective, isn't it? I mean, what's right for...
It's
not right for the worm.
It's very well said.
Mm.
Point being is that right and good and correct are all very subjective depending on who you're asking.
Did you ever hear the story of how Siddhartha Buddha observed causation and karma? He was sitting in a field at a tilling festival and they were watching the horse and cart plow the field. And he watched as the plow went past, it uncovered a worm. And the worm like wriggled in the sun and this bird saw it and swooped around and caught the bird. So he felt the worm and then he felt the bird and he went into both perspectives. So from the worm's point of view, it was like, oh, this bird's a douchebag. But from the bird's point of view, it was like, woohoo! So the same reality, both perspectives created a different feeling, different outcome. And the human didn't mean to uncover the worm. It wasn't its intention, but cause and effect, it's still... through doing what it did to grow its food, created that causation for that to happen. And then the bird went up and he was living in... He was aware from the bird's perspective, the bird landed in a tree and then a snake ate the bird. And he realized that that's how cause and effect works. It's like from one thing to the other. and each life is living in their temporary eye, creating causation on behalf of that eye. Like, bird needs food, kill worm. You know, snake needs food, kill bird. Like, from each perspective, it's what they're feeling, their eye and Maya wants equals good. But the reality is that when you look from many angles, that becomes bad. Or not, that's not good or bad necessarily, but it's going to create cause and effect that will bring blind feeling, creates blind action, equals going to bring about blind result. So it's interesting that you say there's no right answer, because from any one of those perspectives, yeah, there's no right answer. Whenever you're trapped in one perspective, you're going to feel my perspective is right, and then you're also going to see another perspective and be like, huh. But it goes back to Tim's Canva thing. You observe on behalf of what you want out of life. So if you want to stay in a temporary eye, yeah, observe from temporary eye, support your feeling. But if you want to become awakened, then you have to observe the situation from an awakened consciousness point of view. An awakened consciousness point of view would see that thing, Red Bull and Chen Kun, and say, of course, it's wise. He's turning a negative feeling into a positive discipline. How can that be blind? But then from a higher level again would go, you're blind to even let the bad mood appear, to then have to then fix it with Chen Kun. And an awakened consciousness would go, what do you have a bad mood for? You should enjoy training Chen Kun anyway. So it's all a spectrum of how blind and how awakened you want to observe from. And we don't be too harsh on ourselves. We go, it's down here, be gentle, Sean. You're going to have bad moods. And if you can change that, yay! But you don't get like... But you also go, all right, so I don't want to finish there. I want to keep going and I want to get higher and higher. So that's why when I do training with Sifu, sometimes he'll say, oh, this was great, this was great. And he'll tell me all these things that are great. And I'm like, give me, like, what do I fix? You know, give me something to work on here. I don't just want to be told, who's a good show? Go on out there and enjoy Tai Chi.
You've graduated.
I kind of go, yeah, that's cool. But I still have an itch. I want to improve more. Give me more feedback. So we always have to be like that. And, yeah, try not to only see the one angle. Because the chances are, in that situation you were saying, like, I can see their angle, but I also have my angle. Both angles are probably blind. Neither one of them is from here. But the one that's taken in the most angles, if it's not, if you can't calculate more angles than that one, take that one. But if you've got more angles when you, like, listen to them and you go, oh, you've only got those angles? Well, I had those angles plus three. I win. Mine's unlimited compared to yours. But yeah, it's about getting good at observing.
Because if you want to, like, you know, you're looking for a right answer, causation's a really good one to look at, because those two ways to see the situation, maybe they're similar here, but in terms of causation and time, where do they actually end up?
Go in totally different directions. Totally. Red Bull, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Red Bull has a bad mood, does it do Chen Kun? Versus Red Bull has a bad mood, does Chen Kun? Which Red Bull is going to ripple the most causation in a positive or negative direction?
Yeah. So if you want a non-personal way to observe your life, you go like, oh, this is probably okay. Oh, okay. One beer, not a problem. Three beers, what's the difference? Well, three beers a week, 7 days, 20, you know, 80 a month, all of a sudden, like, okay, that's, you know what I mean? You can go, okay, so over 12 months, even though it seems like a small difference, that's like drinking my own weight in beer. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like small difference here, over, but a habit over the long term. Yes. And that's why we talk about, like, Chen Kun, you know, small exercises you can do that can fix your body. But those little changes done repeatedly, that's really valuable.
That's why they say 15 minutes a day. Practice charging your center, following Tai Chi, 15 minutes a day. It's not a lot. You can do that.
Mm.
And if you do that every day, at the end of a week, you'll have done 15 times 7, Tim, go.
100 minutes.
There you go. That's almost like,
Be
you're going to do my exam for me, aren't you?
I want a helmet and a big hose.
You've already got one. Yeah, so 15 minutes a day, Tai Chi, like, focus on charging your center. It'll clean out personal. Like, see, we just watched a cool video that Tim's put a lot of cool training videos on there. You guys can watch. They're really cool.
I've seen a little bit of one of them.
Yeah, they're really cool. It's like Sifu explaining different techniques, how to make your body light, how to be abstract, how to do meditation and stuff. Really cool. But in one of them, he said, what was it?
Tai Chi, you can create a new eye.
Yeah, he said you can't be Tai Chi and have your personal emotion. So already by practicing Tai Chi, you're like purifying your personal emotion. It's really cool.
Mm. Yeah, it's cool. And one of the bits he's talking about, it will clean out all your weakness. If you feel like weak or down or no confident, you can just clear that right out, because Tai Chi has no room for any of that. Charge center. You know, rather than like, I can't do it. I'll never be any good.
Or even if you
zero Tai Chi.
If you just wake up feeling negative, like that's what he's talking about. He's like, sometimes in the morning, my body's all blocked. I feel terrible. So I do all these moves to break it open and create that thing. And then he says, when you're having like weak or any negative feeling, it can be like loneliness. It can be bored. It can be frustrated with work or low discipline, whatever. Just start following philosophy and like charging your center and moving like that. And the feeling will change. It's really cool. It's really cool. That's another dig at personal emotion.
Yeah. But it's kind of see how it's like, as you add more angles to it, it's like becomes less like personal is the only emotion I can ever have.
Yeah,
to like,
it's more things to see it through.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going from this to like
a little bit bigger.
And that's all we're trying to do is to just move the feeling slightly further away, so it's not like I am a bad mood to like, oh, I have a bad mood now, but I didn't have a bad mood before. You know, you can create a bit of space to observe it.
Because that's what he said, eh? When you have a bad mood, if you stay in that bad mood, you are that bad mood if you follow it. But if you can change it, you realize that bad mood was never you. That's cool. And the other thing I wanted to connect to will take us back into On Money Pub Yom. But what Red Bull was doing is practicing lotus wisdom. Where does the lotus grow from? Muddy dirt. So it's like Red Bull's bad mood is like that mud, and from that bad mood, instead of creating more blindness karma, he's creating Chen Kun discipline and like body awareness and fixing his four element temple. So that seed is growing from the muddy dirt to become an awesome power. If he does it that often, he's already really disciplined and really charging his center. So it's like becoming a lotus force out of what could have potentially been muddy dirt. Pretty cool.
That's cool. So, and if you think about your life, you imagine all the positive stuff you enjoy, like Sean was saying before, it's positive, great, enjoy it. And all the bad stuff, you end up charging center and creating martial arts. So either you're developing martial arts or you're having an awesome time. That's what your life consists of. That'd be pretty cool. You know what I mean? So that's like how you can use both sides to continue to develop.
You got one of them. You were the first person I heard get one of those lotus disciplines. Specifically for you, it was aimed right at you, and I'd heard it. I was like, that is the best answer to that ever. Yeah,
when?
I wasn't even there when Sifu told it to you, but I heard it third hand. I heard it from Sifu, said it to you in front of someone, and they brought it up at a class totally unrelated. And I was like, oh, best advice ever, how to get rid of worry,
mm-hmm.
How to see through the worry habit, because apparently you had it a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was like we were trying to observe how to help Brooke get rid of worry, and I was like, "Oh, what's the cause of worry?" And Sarah was like, "Actually, Siva said once that worry habit is so blind and it's so automatic. Trying to understand the cause of it is like a waste of energy. So the more you waste time on trying to find the cause of this blind illusion, you're creating more negative around it. So instead, just whenever you catch yourself doing it, charge your center, because eventually that blind worry habit" will cause you to have the most powerfully charged center. Like the worse that worry habit is, if your discipline is to charge your center instead of following worry, boom, your center will become so charged, and that will be your automatic thing. So that's negative becoming a really strong positive force, and that's amazing wisdom.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. I just didn't know what one you were talking about.
There's more. Spiel.
Possibly.
She's holding out on us, Tim.
Yeah. We want to copy all these techniques. I'm going to use that one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I do that one a lot. Whenever I catch myself overthinking about something,
yeah.
I'll just balloon chest it, and I'll be like, observe it while you balloon chest it. This is great. You might be getting a headache, but you're also getting swole.
Because you just said that recently as well, right? Like, when you can observe the negative from that angle, then it's like, appreciate it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, because you go less up, less down with it. You kind of just sit in the middle and flow, and the drama goes up and your feeling goes, woo, observe it. ooh, observe it, ooh, observe it. You don't ever, like, go, that's exhausting. Taking the full, like, edges of the roller coaster is exhausting.
My life is amazing. Oh, my life is over. My life is amazing. My life is over.
I don't want to be there.
Yeah. People around you will be like...
But I had to learn how to do that with Vince when I first moved in with him, because one day he's all happy and you're his best mate. The next day he's like... And you're like, what's wrong? He's like, nothing.
Like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, you're like, oh man, what did I do? And then I one day just realised, like, if I'm going to live with him, I need to let him be and not fall in and out of his little... And it worked. And Sivu asked me, he was like, how do you not get pulled into his emotion swing? And I was like, I realised a while ago that this is my house too, and my feeling matters as much as his does, and his shouldn't influence me so much. So I just let him have his feeling, and it's his responsibility to fix it, and I have my feeling, and I enjoy my feeling. And Sivu was like, it's like, this is good, I need to do this. Like, I helped. So yeah, don't fall into each illusion or feeling, because they're all illusion anyway. Only the good ones. Go into the good ones. Strengthen the good ones.
Because they're like, for some people, the extreme nature brings excitement. Because it's extreme. But only if you can actually handle that extreme. Like, I'll give Rebel's example. So Rebel doesn't really have a middle ground. He's extreme in any way. And so I said to Brooks, like, oh, how do you harmony with that? I'm like, well, I just kind of meet him in the middle as he's passing from one to the other. Like, this is my hangout zone here. And when it's out here, I'm like, no. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. Hey, it's crazy.
Oh, it's up again.
Because, like, for him, that's normal. For me, it's like just extreme, up, down, up, down, weight loss, bulking, weight loss, bulking, you know, zero training all day. It's just like
vegetarian, meat eater, vegetarian.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I turn up the restaurant, I'm like, oh man, vegetarian. No, I've given that up. Actually, it's all meat now.
Fasting, not fasting.
After I've ordered, I just ordered this, like, crappy soup because I thought we were vegetarian. Why are we coming to this place? Like, oh no, I switched that ages ago. And you're like, man, I can't keep up.
It's exhausting. You got to find the rhythm that works for you and try and meet people in the middle for what works for you. Don't go on their journey. They're used to their journey. They create their journey. But if you try to follow them on their journey, oh, it's hard work, man. It's really hard work. Like, Tim's passion is like, new project, explosions. And I'm like, just don't go too hard, too quick, Sean. You know what happens? You burn it out. Then Tim will boom, and then he goes on to something else, and then he comes back, boom. I'm like trying to keep up that intensity. Like, flawed. It's pretty funny. Whereas Olaf's just like, oh, it's just like a balloon floating around. It doesn't go down, doesn't go up. He just the ultimate froth.
Oh my god.
He's a balloon follower, massively. Just constantly, like, full, like, this constant, this is so cool.
There is a downside to that balloon, though.
Yeah.
Because the balloon doesn't travel under its own. So it's like, and I think that's a blindness of mine. I try to, like, look for something I can use all the time. Like, oh, I should be more like a balloon. But it's like, well, balloon has good things and bad things. One is they're very thin and they pop very easily. So, you know what I mean? So it's like that. Try and use the good part of the balloon wisdom to be light and, you know, you don't have too much up and down. You kind of
a metal balloon.
Yeah.
That floats.
It's
fireproof.
But you know what I mean? So it's like still, rather than take it like, oh, that's the wisdom. That's what I need. That's going to work all the time. I don't have to think about it. I just do that one. Sean Ping kind of likes that with disciplines. And now when we get to this situation, we'll always do this.
Yeah. The one-size-fits-all response.
Always the eating bit is, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's like, this is what we'll all do. It's like, it was a tough decision at the time, but, like, it will get easier, you know, because now we're expecting to make that decision. We don't have to be like, and that's it for dinner forever. Whew, one less decision.
Because all I said was, we could also do burritos, and he was like, no, they don't work for me. And I was like, oh, okay.
It was a terrible idea.
They're really good.
So we learn there's more angles, but it's also kind of exhausting. You know, you have to calculate causation every time. You know what I mean? It's like, we're not used to that kind of observation. So we're like, must be an easier way to do this.
I'm really funny. Like, someone will do something that's out of their normal rhythm, and I'll be forever observing, why did they do that? That was different. What's going on? And I'll ask him, wait, what's going on with them? And he's like, I don't know. Like, text them and start trying to figure it out, because my brain will just try and figure out what's changed, what's the difference. like with Jono when he moved out first, and we were like, he's acting different, he's acting weird, what's going on? And then I was talking to Siva about it, and Siva was like, yeah, he has higher standard for others than himself, so living on his own, he just doesn't really show himself much care. And I was like, ah. So it's not until that question gets answered, the rest of it. But yeah, we've actually got to do that. I should do that to myself more. I do it to others more than I do it to myself. I would learn so much more if I was like that to myself. Be like, I know why I do that. Stop it, Sean. Okay, back to normal. Yeah. Does anyone remember the On Money Pub Me poem, the final two?
Oh, wait, before we, have we finished with the canvas slide? Was that the last one?
No.
Oh, it's no. On Money Pub Me. Part of the next canvas slide?
It's not. No, we just started it a few weeks back, but we don't have to if you've got a question.
Mm. Yeah. I was just curious.
I don't know if there are more slides, but you have to look at it, you know.
We need to pull the slides up, would we?
You should come with a problem. And you can test the slides again.
Yeah, because it's like you've heard all the philosophies before, but it's better to apply them to something because then it sharpens the nonsense around. But if it's like talking about them generally, it's like, oh, it's generally useful. But they're only really useful if you actually use them on something that's important. You know, like when you give me an example about like a tree, it'd be more important to use it on something that's personal to you. Mm-hmm. So you've got like a strong feeling towards it and then you can cut it back.
Mm.
Rather than like that tree you have no connection to anyway, so it's like, oh, that's useful.
It's what's it called, skin deep example. But a real heartfelt example you learn a lot more from. Does anyone have a heartfelt example they want to throw in the fire? let's get to know each other.
Yeah.
These qualities we're looking at are what you distill from watching Sifu answer questions.
Listening. Yeah.
One of the ways Sifu answers questions.
Yes, I'm not going to say that's all the ways, because it's like they're just the patterns of that I can dissect to go, okay, I can follow a similar procedure to do that. Still doesn't mean I'll get to the right answer, because I can read part of the map. It'll be the first time I go there, so, you know. I don't even know where there is, so, you know, it's like, it's something you got to practice. Is that what you meant? Or?
Yeah.
Heartfelt examples.
Well, I was thinking about this before. So the way we were saying to get rid of suffering through emotion, it's actually very similar to the way you purify every chakra. So the way we said, or what is the causation of Red Bull not doing Chen Kun to change his bad mood, or to do Chen Kun to change his bad mood, you know? Two different cause and effect patterns. So that's just for emotion, right? That's one technique to fix emotion. What about desire? Every desire, everything we want is another cause and effect pattern channel, right? So I'll throw my thing in. Sean, what do you want? I want to be a fireman. Okay, what are the cause and effect patterns of those two different angles, you know? They're very different. It's a totally different path for me. So I would have subconsciously already done that a bit, my own version of that checklist, before even throwing my hat in the ring and applying, you know? So, do you guys do that? Like, when you make a big decision, do you go, what's the cause and effect pattern going to be? Where am I going to end up? How am I going to feel about that? How's Tim going to feel about that? Have you considered how Tim's going to feel about that?
I should ask Tim how he feels about
that. I do, but not in a wise direction. So, I wouldn't do that kind of follow the slides and look at it through wisdom. Normally, it's like, right, cool, will this benefit me? Will this, like, harm me? Will this benefit the people around me? What can I get from this? It's very
IMI,
but I'm assigned to make decisions like that. Yes.
You say it's very IMI, I'd change that to say it's 100% IMI.
There we go.
So what that doesn't make it right or wrong. It just means that all the answers have one common thread. Yes. So you limit yourself from any other person's view. And that's why like Sean's a great person to ask about stuff, because they'll often introduce an angle like, never would have thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that kind of breaks my angle, because I'm like, oh, if that exists, there are many things that I don't exist. You know what I mean? So it's one way to kind of expand it. It'll also come up against something where you're like, personally I like this, but all the philosophy says that I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's a big one. Good luck with that, man.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Philosophy says I shouldn't follow my feeling, but I deserve this now. Even though I know it's bad for me.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when I follow my feeling, I'm not even aware I'm doing it until after the fact. And I'm like, oh, I was following my feeling. That's how I ended up here.
Yeah. But then you don't change your pattern for doing that next time. It's just like, oh,
so yeah, I don't even realize it's about to happen. That's, one that I find tricky.
Usually we realise after it's happened.
Yeah. So is there a way that you can catch yourself before you do it?
Observe before you act. That's the habit we've got to get into. Observe before acting. And you have a feeling going, but I want it. And you're going to be like, but it's not wise, Sean. Don't do it, man. You can control it. Distract yourself.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. This is back a long time ago when I was 21 or 22. Me, Sean Pig, had just joined the group. And we were meant to go to this event called Parklife. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Parklife. On the day of Parklife, Sifu asked Sean Pig to come and do training. So Sean Pig rocks up to do training and asks me, do I want to come train as well? I've got plans. I've got pre-drinks and a pre-party to go to before going to this thing. And me and all my friends are standing around about to dip into our performance enhancer bag for the night. And I get a phone call from Sifu. And I answer it. I'm like, hey, Sifu. And he's like, don't take any drugs at this party you're going to. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Sean Pig just told me that the party that you guys are going to, everyone's going to be taking drugs. So I'm just telling you, don't take drugs. It's not good for your karma. And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like, not one part of me is like, oh, how considerate is that of him to call me? And there's a part of me that's like, why did Sean Pig tell me that? That's what I was angry at. I was like, ugh. So for the whole, like, leading up to it, I'm in this massive contradiction. Like, Sifu says don't do it, but I was already about to do it. I've already paid for them. And what am I going to do? Go to this thing without taking them? Ah! So I took them and I had a great time. But it made me realize that, like, for him to say that, I don't think he expected me not to. Sifu's not that naive. He knows that if I've gone to all this effort, that's like a big train moving in a direction. You can't just jump in front and stop the train. But him making me calculate it there and then was the beginning to me actually planning a different Saturday night. And it was the beginning to me observing, is this the only way to have fun? Because it wasn't until he introduced me to cool kung fu and martial art that I had a new cool way to enjoy life. And a way that I can actually enjoy life that brings positive result. But that day on that festival, I woke up with a sore jaw, very hungover, cost me a lot of money. I didn't feel great for 3 days. And you start to observe, wow, cause and effect, fast pleasure, quickly bring suffering. Like, you start to wake up from it. And we're like a caterpillar. Learning all this wisdom is like the caterpillar going into the cocoon. We are absorbing whatever that cocoon does to give that thing wings to make it fly away. So we're not saying you need to go from caterpillar to flying. No, no, no. We have cocoon phase. Welcome to cocoon phase. We are in cocoon phase. And it happened with Tim as well, because Tim was living with Sean Pig when he first started. Were you living with him already?
No.
Oh, just hanging out with Sean Pig. And Sean Pig's like on his, like, well, I don't actually party anymore because, you know, philosophy, philosophy, wisdom, wisdom, spiritual, spiritual, discipline, discipline. And Tim Pig rings me up and goes, Sean, I mean, I understand it, but I still really want to, like, go out and drink. And I was like, relax, man. It took Sean Pig 10 years to figure out how to follow that wisdom. He didn't do it all straight away. And you're like, oh, right. And I'm like, yeah, man, just go out and just take your time absorbing it. Like, start to think you want to move in that direction and observe whether you really enjoy this or not. And you were like, oh, thanks, man.
I'm so afraid. Because he's not like middle way at all, really. He's like, no, I don't drink anymore. And I was like, oh, I mean, okay. And he's like, yeah, it's bad for your health and, you know, cause and effect. And I was like, good. Okay, I can't actually argue with that. I'm just thinking about how I can get away from this conversation so I can go and have a drink. You know, it's like there was no way to bring
that. But what he didn't tell you is the causation leading to him being that black and white was he had a problem enjoying it in moderation. So he got into all this trouble with it, and finally he had to make that decision, like, no more. Like, I cannot handle it, no more. It's a test, no more. And so rather than enlightening you, go, well, actually, you can, I can't, but you can. It's bad for you. Cause and effect, discipline, discipline. No. You were so confused.
It was so definite. I was just like, I feel like there's no middle step.
Since you're 3 months in, like, so I have to stop drinking. Yeah. I'm like, no, man, give yourself a few years to absorb that. Oh, I love it. The change in your voice was hilarious.
Yeah, it really helped. But it's like, because there's a lot of his qualities in explaining philosophy that makes you get it, like, straight away. You're just like, oh, it's so from heart. And there's other ones where it's like, man, that's a big gap. It's a big jump. So,
so what we need is Sifu to call us right before we do things to make us observe.
No, you don't get that luxury.
I know.
Your karma is different, and it, either because you don't need that or because you couldn't handle that. Because it's, no, it's not easy.
No.
When someone calls you up or like, will like, I was living with him and I went to walk out the door and I was like, I'm going to go get a laptop. Like, I'm going to go down and look at laptops. That's what I'm doing. That's my whole Saturday was planned to go and buy a laptop. About to walk out the door, press the button on the lift at Surrey Hills. And as the lift opens, see if we're ready, where are you going? I'm like, just going to go research laptops. And this massive argument about why I don't need to buy a laptop ensued. And I'm the kind of guy that I don't like losing arguments, especially not about stuff that I should have the free will to do. So I stood and argued and walked out the door to go buy a laptop. I didn't buy one, not because he said not to, but because the store I went to, they weren't that cost effective. And it sharpened me up, not because I had to fight for what I wanted, but it made me observe my own desire habit. My habit is if I want something, all my energy goes into making it appear. And I often do it, and then it was the worst thing for me, and I didn't even want it, and I caused myself a lot of stress getting it. Tim would have seen me do this a few times.
It's like a freight train. You can't step in front of it. Or you can just take a step back and watch it go straight.
Or get on and go for the ride.
Yeah, grab on.
So rather than trying to stop the freight train... Hey, Olive. Hello. Rather than trying to stop the freight train, I've had to aim my desire habit. So it's not so much about I and my stuff anymore, but for us and we. Dojo spaces and massage chairs and carpets for us to train on and a mirror.
Yes.
I try and make it that my desire benefits at least more than one person. Mm-hmm. Preferably many people. Yo! Yeah. And that's what I was trying to say, is like the way out of negative personal emotion is in having no I connect to your emotion. The way out of negative greed habit, a personal greed habit, is to actually try and make your desire for us and we, not me and mine. That's my system.
That's awesome. Can I make an observation on something you just said?
Mm.
You said, so the idea is, before we're about to do something, have Sifu call us.
That would be ideal, yeah.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
So in your view of life, that would help you to learn wisdom.
It was painting maybe, this way. Maybe.
So the,
I would like to think it would, but in reality it might not.
I have a question. Oh, there you go.
So, Sifu is now no longer in Australia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very difficult to train him.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's trying to be difficult, but because he's at the gym with hundreds of people and he's like one of few people that speaks Chinese.
Yeah.
All the guys that can train there can't speak Chinese. So,
yeah.
You know. So if I want to learn Tai Chi, I need to put my own force to learn it as the strongest. Because if I wait for him to give me a lesson, it would have been probably 18 months. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not something that was recently there, but it's definitely gotten stronger since he left.
Mm-hmm.
But that force to be able to go, actually, what do I want? If anyone's responsible, I'm responsible for it. That is so powerful. And for me, in a situation, I'll rarely let myself go, actually, that's the cause. 100% it's my cause. I might not like what they're doing, but I never give that power away to someone else. Because that, for me, is like a terrible feeling. Like, I have no possibility to change this situation. I can't even really sit with that for more than a second before I'm like, ugh. You know what
say,
I mean?
Say that again. Say the situation again.
So in a situation, like at work, like someone's... Like I've got a guy I work with at the moment who's a real pain in the ass. Real pain in the ass. And that's... His style of working is to find a small mistake with everyone, and then once he's put everyone down a peg, then he can kind of start speaking. So he's not actually listening to understand me. He's actually just trying to find a very small mistake. Could be a comma. Could be, you know... could, you know, maybe we started a minute late. Just something. Just something to take, you know, and that's his way.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than let me get that down, I said to Sean, I go, he annoys me, but I look at it like chess. That's his way of playing chess. There's something I can learn from it. And it's taken me like 6 months to learn his technique, and I did it back to him today. and it was like neutralized. So it wasn't like I had to put him down. I just used the same technique back. Okay.
It's like algebra. You move the power from the other side of the equation.
So in that Tai Chi example, it's like, if I want to learn Tai Chi, I can blame Sifu, like he never trains me.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sifu's fault. But Sifu can already do Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I keep training that Tai Chi. I can do it now, but if I don't train it, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's a way, in a situation for me, I won't let that main cause go to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Not even for a second. I find it very uncomfortable. Like it was someone else's responsibility for me to develop something.
Yeah.
So if you, for yourself, you can use that to be like a supercharger to learn anything you want.
Yeah.
It's like 100%. It's up to me. Mm-hmm. And you'll find every situation is actually, like Sean said, he can re-guide that desire power to help other people. And he's very good at considering other people. So it's like it taps in to like, oh, this will help many people. Oh, I get a carpet so everyone can stretch. Boom, I get a mirror so everyone can train. Oh, dojo, tatami. You know what I mean? So.
But I have a question. The way you asked that before, think more deeply. Imagine you were about to do something and I called you up and said, Romany, you're not allowed to do that. Actually, you have to go to the dojo and do Qigong for an hour instead with Tim. Would you want that kind of teacher?
You mean like every day?
What, just once a day?
At an indeterminate in an indeterminate time.
So you can call me at any point.
Any time. What are you doing? Nah, you're not doing that. Get over here now.
Yeah, like a servant.
It's a master role. Having a master. Yeah, that's what a master is.
I don't think I would cope, personally. But think more what I was trying to ask in a roundabout way was what method can you use when you're like sort of in blindness and not able to, like you're not, what method could somebody use, like myself, to observe before acting instead of just blindly following my feelings?
Perfect. Good question. What did I say?
Essentially, like observe the causation before and work out like what if you follow this action, like what's the causation going to be like versus if you follow a different direction, what's the causation going to be like, and then you're calculating like a little bit more in the future, and then from that you can get a better sense of like what would be the wiser choice.
Do you observe before every action?
Ooh, Belen's got an example as well.
I think the first step is knowing what you're doing at the moment, that you always follow blindly without stopping and observing.
Yeah.
Now that you're aware that you're doing that, now you're able to stop, you know? Like, you know that you usually go and follow whatever your blindness go.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're aware that you do that, now you know that you're able to hang out. I always do this, maybe I should just shush, observe, give myself 1 second, and do what Brooke is saying.
Mm-hmm. How do I remember to do that when I wake up from a running or in an hour when I'm driving home? Practice, okay. Yes.
Practice it.
Maybe the background of your phone. So every time you look at it, it could be like,
no, yeah, I did that one and now I stopped seeing it.
You gotta mix it up, I reckon.
Yeah.
You have an illusion that it's very complicated.
Yeah.
But the wisdom's actually simple. What's complicated is the discipline to practice it. I think that's something that affects many parts of your life, is that you make the actual solution complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Tai Chi is not complicated. Remembering to do it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, I should do Tai Chi later. But I don't actually need anything to do Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually do it anyway. So I think if you make it less complicated for yourself, like, oh, okay, like Ben said, just have 1 second to go. Usually I don't even think about it. I'm just going to have to think about it.
Yeah.
You already start to make a better decision.
The other, the other thing I would say is, have you observed what you actually want out of life? Because this is something that it's not a new question and it'll never be an old question. It's just something you need to keep observing. And as your wisdom grows, your answer will change. And that's good. Because if your answer doesn't change, it means you stay blind. So the fact that you, at the first year you're learning, might have heard this question and thought you wanted this. And then as your wisdom gets higher, ooh, I can see the blindness in that, trim that away. Oh, we had a good example last 2 weeks. Jono said he wanted to not be the cause of suffering for himself or any other life. That was what he wanted. And I heard that and straight away I went, well, who are you being the cause of suffering for my life? I'm the cause of suffering for me. Ain't nobody going to cause me suffering more than I. How dare you? And then it made me realize both angles of what he thought he wanted out of life were illusion, because he's the only one that can cause suffering for himself, and he can't cause suffering for other life. So by that, he straight away, now his answer was different. In a week, he's changed. His goal for life changed, evolved. Now it's
being
harmony. And then we asked, what is harmony? And he didn't even know what it was. So we had a whole class on what is harmony last week. It's really cool, right?
Mm.
So, give you guys a minute to think. You got to come up with an answer. It doesn't have to be like, because you got to
stuck with it.
Pardon?
I said, you're not stuck.
You're not stuck with it. It's just sweet.
For now.
But try and come up with a wise intention for your life. Take a minute. You can lie down on your back on your pillow. We'll put some dreamy tunes on.
Put dreamy tunes on.
Put dreamy tunes on. Let's get dreamy on it. This is what meditation can be, is observing what do I actually want from my life. Because the problem with not observing is we just keep acting. And then we get to somewhere we didn't mean to go. And all our time spent, our energy spent, our life's over. And we've in the spot we didn't mean to get to. And we're lost. And you can't go back. So then you have a regret feeling. But instead, a wise person would stop and think, okay, my life is going to be this long. I'm going to make a list of the things I want to accomplish. And observe whether I want them for right reason, wrong reason. Robert De Niro said it in this movie, 15 Minutes. He said, here's a piece of advice, kid. Go make a list of all the things you want over the next 20, 30 years and spend the next 50 years of your life slowly getting it piece by piece. I was like, damn, De Niro, you're a smart guy. Not eternal wisdom goals, but still a good approach to anything. So knowing what you know of philosophy, all the appearing form of Dharma is constantly changing. And any eye you have is illusion eye. And any eye that is ego temporary eye will create suffering. Go. So, what do you want from that? Did anyone come up with an answer? Any kind of answer for your own level at the moment, what you want from your life?
Yeah, it's to enjoy life, to
developing
wisdom.
Enjoy life and developing wisdom.
Through developing wisdom.
Yes. Cool. Anyone else?
Yeah, so I guess my goal would be a level of freedom, human level. I mean, ultimate goal is Buddha level, but right now I'm cool with achieving a higher level of freedom.
Nice.
Keep developing and sharing with the group that developing.
Nice.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot, and then I was thinking about how I think, and I was like, oh, it always leads me to suffering. And I was thinking, maybe I can use my thinking and think of an answer. And I was like, oh, it's already arrived. I want to be free from suffering.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I don't know what it means, to be honest, but I like the idea of it because I can't comprehend how to be free from suffering all the time, but... it's a very high goal, but
it
sounds pretty good.
Mm. And it's good not to have all the answers. I remember, like Sean was saying, like each year it seemed like Sifu would ask a question. And like year one, I gave an answer. Then second year, then like it just kept going. And then I think 3 or 4 years in, I was like, actually, Sifu, I don't know what you want. And he's like, oh, it's great. I was like, really, is that the right answer? He's like, no, it's great that you don't know what you want. If you know everything about life, you have no more life. You know?
It's boring.
What's so good about knowing all the answers? There's no more wonder, no more magic. So it's good to not know the answer.
And that's the end of, like Socrates being a Western philosopher, he went on this massive journey at the end. His final wisdom was, I don't know. And it's like, that's cool that he got to that point and admitted, I don't know. But he could have saved a lot of journey if he just went, I don't know. From the beginning and then start asking, being actually deeply curious. But we have to go on that journey to make that curious heart appear. Because the know-it-all heart doesn't listen. A know-it-all heart doesn't need to learn. But a curious heart is really a good listener and great at learning and excited to learn and positive to learn. But that know-it-all, you have to convince. Even they can't, you can't convince yourself when you know it all. You're like, yeah, I know. yeah, I get it. You've said this already, I know.
So try that, it didn't work. Come on.
Yeah, those ones. Yeah. Okay, do you want to know what all those answers have in common? What they tell us about you? Is there whatever you want? We know for a certain that somewhere in your heart you don't feel you've reached that yet. So you don't feel free. You don't feel free of suffering. What was yours again?
You feel bloated.
No, you want it to develop. You want it to continue. So that's something you want to continue. You don't want to lose that. You know that's good. Everything else you don't know, but that's good. And yours was keep experience magic. You kind of feel that's more important than the other stuff, anything else you might want. And yours was a joyful development. Enjoy development. Enjoying life there is them. So more a being thing. Yeah. So when I first got asked that question, I said contentment, security, and happiness. I was like, whoa, that means I don't feel content, secure, or happy. Ah! I wouldn't have been. Yeah. And it's like when you see someone who's trying to show that they're really big and not afraid and tough, they're not doing that because they're doing that for outside a little bit, but partly is because inside they feel afraid and weak. So they want to present tough and no fear. Because if you are something, you don't need to prove it to yourself. You know you're that. You don't need to prove it to anyone. You're like, I can come up to you and say, you're afraid. And you'd be like, this poor little boy has no idea what I feel. Run, child. Be gone.
You're right, I'm really scared.
Really? Yeah. You do that. Right. Yeah. But it's only if you're not sure of what, you know, you don't feel you've proved that to yourself, then you have to prove it. Would you, yeah, do
that,
you?
That was cool.
That was cool.
Really cool, the unpacking opposite.
Yeah, it's not what people say that tells you everything, it's what they don't say. Does that even make sense? Anyway, did you have one?
Yeah, to continue to develop and share wisdom. I was like, because I went on a bit of a roundabout, I was like thinking about it, and then I had like a bit of a conversation, and then I was laughing at myself because I'm like, how come to do nothing is so difficult? Yeah. Just, you know, it's like nothing happens and that vacuum sucks in a whole bunch of other stuff. It's just like, it's ridiculous. Sitting, doing nothing, can't make it stop. And that laughed, and then I was like, oh, I actually really enjoy my life. I was observing, like, since Sifu's been gone, all like the cool things that have come into my life. I'm like, oh, great. It's an awesome direction.
Yeah. Very cool. Nice one. I have two. One is to be my own Sifu. Because, like you were saying before, if it's up to Sifu for me to develop, that's slow. And that's frustrating because then I feel like I have someone to blame when I don't get better. But also, it's like the training is out of my hands. And remember a long time ago when he said he was gonna leave. He was going to leave Australia. I can't remember when he's going to leave so many times. But he said it. And I thought about it then. I was like, my intention for my life should be I don't need to get his approval or him to teach me, but develop the ability to kick my own ass and be, so I don't need him to call me before I go into park life to tell me not to take drugs, but I'll be like, Sean, you're not going to park life. You're not going to take drugs before you even get in that situation. Does that make sense? So to be my own Sifu is one, and I'm still working on it. And the way I do that is I try to ask other people's opinions honestly. So I'll say to Tim, what do you think of this? And I try not to defend myself when he gives his answer.
You
improved. Thank you. Yeah, or I'll watch myself and pretend it's a student and actually try to kick my own ass a bit when I see my form and go, ah, you could be lighter, you don't look joyful, you're breathing heavy, your ankles are clicking. Come on, man, start again. Out. And, oh, yeah?
How do you control the ankles clicking?
When I figure this out, you will be the first to know.
I didn't know you could control that.
It's more like
sorry, not to derail the class.
No, but it's, I've been observing it more. It's actually when my whole body is united and charged up, the twist in the ankle, the whole energy follows. But when I twist my ankle, like, I'll still be concentrated on foot, but it won't be twisting the whole thing as one piece. It'll be twisting that, and the body will twist with a different power, and that'll make a separation, and that becomes this joint twists more than the rest. I think that's it. I'll let you know when I fully solve it. And my second one is a will I came up with a long time ago, which was to guide and protect any life willing to learn Dharma. That's quite naturally in my heart. I think I've had that for many lifetimes, Sifu said, so pretty cool. It's like deeply in there. Yeah. Sure. I like get power when people are in a bad space. I'm like, I've got energy. Don't go getting into bad situations, but if you are, call me. I'll have energy. I'll find it. But yeah, it's cool exercise. You can go and do that, you know. When you're stuck in something that seems really important and it's stressing you out, stop observing from that perspective and observe your life from that neutral perspective. Like, what do I want from my life? Not what do I want out of this situation, because that situation is temporary, stressful, emotionally charged, annoying, and it makes you think a lot. But think, when I get through this or whatever, what do I want from my whole life? Where do I want to look back and go, I'm really proud I did all of these things. I'm happy with what I did. No regrets. Never enough. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's homework. If you can't lie down and observe, that's a good place to start. That's where you need to build your ability. And by practicing that, doing it every day, put on a dreamy mantra, get a little bit.
It's funny, my friend went to a health retreat in Sri Lanka. And part of it was they had like special Ayurvedic food and herbs and no phones were allowed and all this kind of stuff. And he said, oh, we did meditation. I was like, oh, what was the meditation? He said, well, I was really bad at it. I couldn't do it at all, but it was half an hour every day. So he said, for the people that couldn't actually sit and meditate, we just got to go down to the beach and we just had to lie there for half an hour and listen to the waves. I was like, did it work? And he's like, oh yeah, like I really enjoyed that. I was like, oh, it's awesome, you know?
That's good.
Yeah. It was funny because he's like, oh, I failed at meditation. And I was like, yeah, well, we switch between tasks every 5 seconds, you know, to sit and do nothing for
half an hour.
It's
a lot of seconds.
Like, yeah, switch between tasks and phones and things. It's like constant go.
Yeah.
It was interesting. And he was like, oh, well, we just got to lie down and listen to the waves. Yeah, it works really well.
30 minutes is a lot of seconds. When you break it up in seconds,
isn't that kind of like observing life sound?
Yeah.
Meditation style?
Mm.
Cool.
So it's actually like you don't sit there like we're trying to shut our brains down, but it's like you directly go and observe the sound, and then it's like quietens the brain itself. So,
because thinking is a sense, and so is listening, and so is seeing, so is feeling. So all of these things, if you put more energy into these other senses, it'll mute the other one a little bit. So if you're stuck in thinking, releasing tension is like bringing awareness to your touch sense. Or listening to a mantra brings you into a listening sense instead of being trapped in thinking.
Mm.
Many senses, get out of the one. Anyway, awesome. That's a lot for one day.
Yeah, sure.